Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to bless and anoint Gary as he brings your word, as he teaches us from his heart, from your heart, the things that you have said for us today. Lord, we just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There
you go, boy. Amen. Haven't we had a good time this morning? Yeah, I think God is on the move. Yeah, there's been an excitement and a passion, and we've seen God bringing things out of people, which is really exciting. And what is happening in the nation and in the world at the moment is stirring the hearts of people. We know that something is happening. Something is going on at the moment. We see the darkness trying to do its thing, and we know that God is doing his thing. God is quiet. It's a quiet revival, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we know God is moving. And we had all that lovely stuff, didn't we, about gratitude, thanking, thankfulness. And it's really important that we understand, what is it that God wants from us the most? What he wants from us is our attention. He wants our focus and our devotion to him. So I'm going to ask you a question. I haven't started the talk yet. This is just coming out of what was said this morning. I'm going to ask you, I think they have it on a wide zoom for me because they know that I wander around. I'll ask you a question. What is it that causes you to give God your attention? What is it that causes you to turn to God and to seek him? Because whatever you give God in attention is how he's going to get your attention. If you turn to God when things are tough, only when things are tough, guess what God is going to do? He's going to give you tough times, because that's when you respond to him. That's when you cry out to him. And the danger we have is that when things are good, we ignore God. And we enjoy them, but we don't talk to God about them. But if we respond to God when he is blessing us, when we are thankful, when we express gratitude for the good things that God is doing, then God says, hey, they like it when I bless them. They respond to me. They seek my face. That's what I want. So he starts blessing more. This is not a blanket rule, okay? Don't turn this into a formula, but it's a principle. It's a principle. Okay, the attitude of gratitude is what unlocks the blessing. We turn to God when things are good. We thank him. We love him. We praise him. We give him our attention. And really, it's a wonderful way to lead your life, that you turn to God. I mean, you do turn to God when times are bad as well, but give him as much attention for the good things, for the blessings. Seek out those small blessings that you have and give God the gratitude, give God the thanks, give God the praise. If you give someone a present for their birthday or for Christmas and they kind of ignore it as one response and or they say, thank you so much, I'm so grateful to you. Which one of those two responses is more likely to make you want to bless them again? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. And so it is with God as well. God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude, because that is where the blessing starts to flow. Be grateful for the small things, and God will turn the small things into big things. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray that you speak to us today as we talk, as I share today. I just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be the one who speaks into our hearts and into our minds, that you will reveal truths. And I pray that each one of us will receive at least one thing directly from you today that we can take away, we can be challenged by, we can think about, we can be blessed by, we can be encouraged by, Father, and that your life will ever increase in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There we are, wrestling with God. And that is Jacob who wrestled with God. Now, it's interesting. When I was preparing for this talk, whenever I'm preparing for a talk, I think, what am I going to talk about, God? What am I going to talk about? And I've got a hip problem at the moment. Okay, so I've had knee operations in the last 10 years, and both knees have been done. And they did say to me, well, you obviously have this tendency in your body. Your hips will probably go at some point. So I think the hips are starting to go, because I'm struggling there, okay, a little bit. But it's fine, I'm not bothered, but I've got a doctor's appointment to just look at it. But anyway, so he said, Jacob had a bad hip, why don't you look at Jacob? Why don't you talk about Jacob? So I've been on retreat this last week, I've had 5 days away on my own, me and God, it's always brilliant. One of the days I spent reading about Jacob and thinking about Jacob, And so I want to give you the background of Jacob. We're going to look at particularly when he wrestled with God, and that was when the stuff happened to his hip. With Jacob, if you don't know, some of you will know all this, and it's great. Some of you, it will just be a reminder and a refresher. Jacob was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, and he was the grandson of Abraham. His name means the deceiver. Yeah? His name means the deceiver. And throughout his life, he had been crafty and deceitful, most noticeably for tricking his brother Esau out of his inheritance and out of the blessing, which made Esau pretty murderous with rage, as you can imagine. It's not nice when you're tricked out of stuff. So Isaac and Rebekah had been discussing the situation. Rebekah is concerned about Jacob's safety, because his brother's after him. And Isaac is concerned about Jacob doing what is right. And so Isaac sends Jacob to Padan Aram to find a wife from amongst his relatives. This solves both problems. He doesn't marry a Canaanite woman. He'll marry a woman from their tribe. And also he'll be away from his brother. So his safety is assured. So just after Jacob leaves, he has a dream of a stairway to heaven at a place that he calls Bethel. Okay, where God reaffirms his inheritance and his promises to him. And we're going to come back to this later. But in Padan Aram, he ends up with two wives, and also has children with their two maidservants. He falls out with his father-in-law, a chap called Laban, over money. A bit more trickery goes on there, probably on both sides. They're both trying to outwit each other with their scheming and their deals. It's all to do with sheep and goats and where they drink and who they mate with and what colour they come out and all that kind of stuff. You may or may not know the story. God then speaks to Jacob and tells him to go back to the land of his fathers. So he sets off. And as he nears Edom, he is told that Esau is coming with 400 men. He's a bit scared at this point, because Esau was angry with him. He remembers this. And so he prepares an extravagant gift for Esau to buy his favor. And that's where we pick up the story in Genesis 32. So Jacob wrestles with God in Genesis 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. I'd like to draw out some points from that. So the first verse there, or the third verse, 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When God asks us to wrestle with him, it's often unexpected. Did Jacob ask for this? No. He had his own plans. He had a scheme in place to bribe Esau and to get back into favor. He was relying on his own cunning, his own strength. But God had other plans, and God interrupted him. It really wasn't welcome. Who would enjoy suddenly being accosted by a stranger and then having to fight for your life? I wouldn't. He was busy with his plans. I mean, God forbid, eh, that he ever interrupts any of our plans. Hang on a minute, God, hang on a minute. I've got it sorted. I know, I've planned it out. I've talked it through. I'm doing step one, step two, step three. Don't interrupt me, Lord. Yeah? Ever been there? Yeah, we've planned, we've schemed, haven't we? Oh, we do that. You know, but God is allowed to step in when he wants to. It's often unexpected and it doesn't always make sense to us. But we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is allowed to interrupt us. He is God. Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. He wrestled him overnight, didn't he? He was alone, and he wrestled overnight. Sometimes God has to get us on our own in order to deal with us. He needs our attention. I was talking about this earlier. There wasn't a link there, but I've just realized there is a link. He needs us to give him our attention, not being so busy with our own plans. The women and children have crossed the ford. The animals have crossed. No doubt the servants took them, so they've crossed over. So now Jacob was on his own. Now that could be his planning. I actually thought about this and I thought, that's interesting. There's this man, his brother, who's angry and possibly in a murderous rage. So what are you going to do? Send the women and children first. Let's send them in first. Let's see what happens to them before I take a step. He's hiding at the back, isn't he? He's got this cunning plan and he's testing it out. All the women and children first, and the servants, and the cattle, and the sheep, and the goats. They can all go first. Let's see how he responds. And he's hiding. But he is on his own. So God can now have his attention. God can now have his time. When is God going to get our time? When are we going to make time for him? Or is he going to need to step in unexpectedly? When are we giving time to God, allowing him to speak? Or when are the busyness and the plans of the day disrupting us? Who is listening to God right now and who is thinking about lunch? Yeah, I've done this so many times. Not here, of course, not with any of you you're speaking. But I have done this in other churches where the spirit is not so strong. I have done this. You do it, don't you? You go into a meeting and you're even in a worship meeting. You're hearing a talk or something like this. And what is happening in your mind? You're thinking about your lunch. You're thinking about your house. You're thinking about your garden. You're thinking about your friends. You're thinking about your job. If you're like me, you're thinking about your bonsai trees or your motorbikes or anything else that fills your mind. Where is the time for God? Where is the time for God? We have to fight sometimes to make sure that we give God time. Because it is so easy. That's why I like going on retreat. Because I lock myself in a little room. It's just me and God. And my mind whirs with all the things of the day. And eventually, they run out of steam. And God says, right, I'm here now, let's talk. Yeah? That's why we have quiet times. That's why we go. That's why we go away. That's how we make space for God so that he can speak. He has a still, small voice. God wants our attention. He wants our attention because we seek him. He's going quiet. So you have to listen. You have to still your heart and allow God to speak, because he's going to whisper. He's not going to shout. If you want to focus on other things, God will let you. God is a gentleman. He allows you to put your will to do what you want. He will let you think about other things, but he whispers. And if we do not let ourselves get distracted by the noise of the world and the noise of our lives and the noise of our circumstances, God will speak to us. But we have to choose that. That was the slide I was meant to show you for that one. Am I on the right one? I don't know. I think so, yes. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Hey, when your hip hurts, and I speak from experience here, when any part of your body hurts, we all speak from experience, don't we? When any part of your body hurts, you can no longer rely on your own strength anymore. you become dependent on other people and other things. Wrestling with God leaves us dependent on God. God could easily have overpowered Jacob. It says that the man saw, the man is God here, by the way, saw that he could not overpower Jacob. God could easily have, of course God could easily overpower Jacob. He's God. What does it mean? It means that Jacob did not give up. Jacob stayed in the fight right through the night. Jacob didn't quit when the going was tough. Jacob said, I'm going to keep wrestling until I get a result. The hip is a large central bone in our bodies, and it brings balance and stability to the body's movement. Because of his persistence, God chose to wrench Jacob's hip so it no longer worked properly. Jacob was going to limp for the rest of his life. This thing would always be there, making him weak, reminding him of his encounter with God, taking him back to that place once again. God's grace was going to have to be sufficient for him. God's power was going to be made perfect in his weakness. I wonder if God has marked us in any way. I wonder if things have scarred our lives, if things have been there which take us back to a point of wrestle, which take us back to a point of struggle, which leave us in a place of dependency. Do not think that God wants us to be all strong, all mighty, all powerful, all triumphant all the time. God does bring some of those things to us some of the time. But you know what God wants most of all? He wants humble hearts. He wants gentle hearts. He wants soft hearts. He wants hearts that are dependent on him, hearts that look to him. It is so easy when God blesses us for us to start thinking it's us, to be full of ourselves and to start thinking, yes, I can do it. I've got this. I've got that. I've got everything. What we've actually got is God. And he wants us to be dependent on him. And if it means he's got to do your hip in, if it means he's got to put some other situation in your life to keep you focused on him, then he will. He will. Blessed are you when you look to God and focus on him with nothing to take you there. Because then God doesn't have to do anything. But sometimes God has to do things. God has done things in my life. God has done things in your lives. We know there are things there that we think, why? Why, Lord? Why do I go through this? And he says, because now you're saying, why, God? Now you're reaching out to me. That's why. Because that's the thing that makes you go back to him. When your heart is broken, when your life seems frustrating, when you're wondering about the situation. Why, God? Why is this happening? Because that's why. Because that's the thing that makes you turn to him. Keeps you humble. The man said, let me go for it is daybreak. You know? He wrestled until daybreak, and then God brought it to an end. When we face struggles, we think they're going to go on forever, don't we? It feels like they are never ending. We have such short lives anyway. And yet, one thing happens, and after about 3 days, we think, will this ever end? Yeah. We think like that. We think it's going on forever. We see no possibility of it ending. I've probably been there about 1,000 times in my life where I thought a situation will never end. When will it come to an end, Lord? It feels like an endless night, like the darkness has overcome us, and we will not see the end of it. But God controls the night and the day. And the night will not last forever. The dawn is coming and the struggle will be over. He is in control. Daytime is coming with every struggle. Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So are we looking for God's blessing in every struggle? Are we seeing what God is doing in it? How God is challenging us and changing us and transforming us? When they got to the end of the wrestle, and God said, that's it, the season is over. Jacob could have just let go and moved on with his life, couldn't he? He could have just got on with his life. I had a wrestle with God, let's get on with my life. Just like us, when we encounter God in a struggle. I can imagine it now. Dear diary, a most interesting thing happened today. I wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Hey, hey-ho, I wonder what tomorrow will bring. No! No! And I say it again, no! Cry out like Jacob, God, will you bless me in this? Because everything God does will turn to blessing. Every circumstance, every situation, there is a blessing from God in it. And God says, will we cry out to God? I will not let you go unless you bless me. We want the blessing of God. What are you doing in this situation? I will not move on until I've received a blessing from you. I've understood the unseen purposes of God in some way, perhaps, or even if I can't understand it, I will just be blessed by God and know that he has touched me in this. It was not foolishness. It was not in vain. I have struggled with God. I have persisted and I have sought God's blessing. Do not ever think that God does not want to bless you. Of course he wants to bless you. And sometimes we have to wrestle to understand what the blessing is. Sometimes we just need to see the bigger picture. Sometimes we just need to trust God. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Yeah, Jesus asks us to look at ourselves honestly. God asked Jacob his name. Do you think God knew Jacob's name?
Yeah.
Probably did, didn't he? Yeah. You know, that day that God forgot things and had a lapse in his memory, I don't think that one happened. God knew Jacob's name. He wanted Jacob to say it. And in those days, names really meant something. People were given names for a purpose and a reason. Jacob means deceiver, he who grabs the heel, which reflects what happened in his birth. He grabbed his brother's heel. And it's about deception and trickery. Jacob, what is your name? Jacob had to say, Jacob, I am the deceiver. I am the trickster. I am the schemer. I am the one with plans. Projects of my own making. Jacob had to face up to the truth. A moment of truth had dawned in his life. Jacob realizes who he is. He's already on a scheme to win back Esau. He's already got this plans of flattery. You know, it'd be great to do that these days, wouldn't it? Hey, you know, just want to say what a wonderful person you are. I've brought along a dozen sheep for you. It doesn't quite work in our day, but we do similar things, don't we? We flatter people sometimes. We flatter people. And he's had to look at himself honestly. This is my life, is in Jacob's mind. I'm a schemer. I've been relying on my craftiness and my cunningness and my schemes and my plans. And he starts to thinking, I fall short, don't I? I'm not who I should be. I'm not who I call to be. In my flesh, in my own strength, I am not enough. But God is there. God is always there. And he's always willing to bless us. Even when we fall short, if we acknowledge our need of him, if we turn to him, God is going to bring the blessing. But it requires an honesty of heart to say, this is the area where I fall short. I don't know if you could do that. If I was to ask you now, I'm not going to ask you, but if I was to ask you now, what are your areas of weakness? What are the things where you definitely cannot do it without God's strength? Now, you may have two or three things come to mind straight away. You may not. But God wants us to know ourselves. He wants to search us and our hearts and find the anxious ways within us. Yeah, that's what God wants to do. Do we know where we're dependent on God? We're actually dependent on God in every way. But there are often particular areas where we need to know where we are weak so that God can be strong for us. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob has come to an understanding of who he is. And now he wants to know who God is. It's a good place to be. Recognize who you are, then ask God who he is. So what is God's name? What is God's name? You know, God doesn't really have a name. The nearest we get to his name is Yahweh, which is the Hebrew for I am, which was given to Moses in the burning bush, which you can read about in Exodus 13. Now, of course, we have Jesus, that is God's name, or Yeshua, which means I am saves. Yahweh saves. So that's the nearest we've got, but it's actually I am. So I am what? Basically, God's name is I am everything. God has no limitations. He doesn't need a name to limit himself because he is without limitation. In Revelation, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God is so involved in everything. He's involved in every mountain. He's involved in every sea. He's involved in every animal. He's involved in every plant. He's involved in every human being. He's involved in every chair, at every table, in every blind, in every light in this room, in every piece of electronic equipment, in every atom that exists in the whole universe. God is so involved and intrinsically a part of everything. He is all and is in all. How can we... God is. That's what you're left with. God is. And when asking him his name, I am. I am who I am. I am everything. But he does give us a word, doesn't he? One word to call him. Father. That is the word he asks us to use. It's a relational word which perhaps best encapsulates his nature in the way he wants us to know him. He says, call me Father. Call me a relational word. Call me a word that talks about family, about belonging, about unity, about togetherness, about love, about protection, about provision, about hope, about safety and about security. Call me Father. That's the name that God chooses for himself. Then he blessed him. So let's summarize that process. Jacob wrestled with God and he wouldn't give up. Jacob saw who he was in God. Jacob saw who God was. And God blessed Jacob. That's the process that we need to go through. Don't give up. Seek God in every situation. Seek him. Hunger after him. What are you doing in this, God? Where is the blessing for me? See who you are. Be honest about your life. Be honest about your weakness, about your struggles, about the things that you do not find easy. And know that God is the provider, that God can do anything, that God is in control, that God is going to bring about good in your life because he is a good God and he will not deny himself. And then the blessing comes. So, last verses. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, this is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. You know, the blessing comes when we see God's face, and that's what that place means. Peniel, face of God, the place where he saw God. Previously, I mentioned this before, Jacob had encountered God in a dream. He had seen a staircase leading to heaven with angels ascending and descending. It was a place of revelation, a place of spiritual awakening where God had introduced himself to Jacob and reminded him of his destiny. He called the place Bethel. We've heard that word before, haven't we? We've heard of Bethel. Yeah? It means house of God. That first encounter was at the house of God. The second encounter was with the face of God. Now, we love Bethel. We love to name churches or ministries Bethel, don't we? We, the church worldwide. We love the majesty of God's house, the spiritual insights, the revelation. We love the gifts. We love the glory. But Bethel did not change Jacob's nature. After Bethel, he was still a schemer. What did change Jacob's nature? Peniel, the face of God. The wrestle, the struggle, where he lost his own strength and he became dependent on God's strength. When Jacob was no more the man who can do it, the man who can find a way, the man who can do his Del Boy thing and find a scheme to get him out of trouble, wheeling and dealing. But the man who said, I've seen God and I'm dependent on him now. I will trust God to lead me down every path. We love the house of God, don't we? We love the house of God. We rejoice in the house of God. We love it when the angels are ascending and descending and the harps are playing and the trumpets are sounding. But if we really want to know God, to yearn to be so close to him and to participate in the divine nature, then we need to be prepared to struggle with God and to not give up until we receive his blessing. Do you know, we will seek him and we will find him when we seek him with all of our hearts. Amen. Bless you all.